If you play sports games in 2014, you need Operation Sports. Whether you're knee-deep in an online league, building your offline player career, living the ultimate team life, or simply enjoying one-off games against your friends, Operation Sports will help you get everything possible out of your favorite sports game. The legendary forums at Operation Sports go deep on every topic imaginable, for not just the latest games on the newest platforms, but also some of your favorite ones from years past. You name it, they've got it. Gameplay tips, roster analysis, sliders, critical analysis, wish lists, and terrific places to meet other like-minded sports gamers to form game-specific leagues and communities. Madden, NBA 2K, UFC, MLB The Show, NHL, NCAA, NBA Live, WWE, Forza, Gran Turismo, and more. Of course, that's not all. Operation Sports keeps you up to date with the latest news from around the sports game world, along with in-depth reviews, previews, press releases, and opinion. Each community member can also create their own arena where you, too, can blog about anything sports or sports game related to your heart's content. Operation Sports also produces great audio content, including the Dual Threat podcast, as well as the Press Row podcast, the definitive sports game show. 2014 is going to be another groundbreaking year for sports game. Be sure to make Operation Sports the center of it all. Operation Sports, dedicated to sports game.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, all right, we are back. It is the Press Row Podcast for your Friday, June 20th, 2014. I am Rich Grisham. Thank you, everybody, as always, for listening. Well, last week, we had the E3 report from our intrepid Press Row podcast panelists that were offsite and reacting to everything that we saw from afar. This week, we've got our intrepid Press Row podcast panelists that were actually at E3 joining us, moving from left to right on your radio. First up, we have a woman who is so good at Madden that her zombie Vikings are still running roughshod over the rest of the Press Row podcast Madden League, even though she doesn't even control them anymore. From US gamer Kat Bailey. Kat, welcome to the show.
I love this. I love that my Vikings are the terror that flaps in the night, that they continue to haunt the dreams of poor Mike Phillips and Pete Dodd. I love this. I love that they're exercising demons by beating the crap out of my stupid CPU Vikings that I built with my own hands. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I got out of the Press Row League, my first thought was, well, they're screwed in the off season because, I mean, I had no cap space whatsoever. I had basically gone all in on free agents and everything, building a really good team so that I could compete, and it paid off in me getting two Super Bowls, which was awesome. But I figured, oh, I'm going to lose everybody. I'm going to have to cut Adrian Peterson. This is going to be the worst. And now I hear that they're 6-2. Yep. This is great.
Oh yeah, yeah, they Go are. They are doing it. Up next, we have a man who is joining us while still sitting at Madison Square Garden, waiting for Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals to start. From Polygon, Mr. Sumit Sarkar. Sumit, welcome to the show.
That was uncalled for. That's a low blow, Rich.
That's brutal, Rich. Jeez.
Hey, I'm a Devils fan. I mean, it's all I got.
I see. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Sumit. If it were the Packers, I'd do the same thing for you.
Yeah. 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 You know, I'll tell you, the experience for me was at the beginning, you know, right after they lost, I was like, oh man, they got screwed by the refs, which for the record, they did. I mean, especially I think the most egregious one was the non-call and the goalie interference in game two on the Kings' supposed third goal, because that was the turning point. I mean, because then they tied it shortly afterward at 4, and then they went on to win in overtime. That's how I was. That's how I was right at the beginning, right after they lost. But in hindsight, you know, I thought they hung in there. They played. They went toe to toe with the Kings, which is more than I think a lot of people were expecting. Certainly, if you look at the series, yeah, sure, they lost 4-1, but three of those were overtime losses. They were in every game except for game three. And even then, they outshot the Kings by more than double in game three. But the real thing is that, you know, they were in it. It was a hard-fought series. My only regret is that it is my watching experience for game five. So for those who don't know, game five was, you know, during E3. It was the Friday of E3, which was the night of the Polygon E3 team dinner. So our events manager had scheduled this months in advance, so, you know, she couldn't possibly have known that it was going to fall on that, you know, that there was going to be a Stanley Cup game in LA that night. So she scheduled it at Lucky Strike LA Live, which is about 250 yards, maybe, from the Staples Center.
Oh, boy.
And for those who don't know, Lucky Strike is a, you know, bowling lanes, but they've also got, you know, you get bar. There's a bar, and, you know, you can get drinks and food and stuff, like an Applebee's type food, basically. So I had to watch my Rangers lose in double overtime in a bar full of rowdy Kings fans in LA. So that's my only regret. I just wish I could have.
Submit, you know, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I'm sorry.
It was a pretty miserable night. You know, at least the silver lining to the cloud there is I think I was able to, you know, make some of my Polygon coworkers understand how awesome playoff overtime hockey is and playoff hockey in general. Because, you know, we were playing, you know, we were bowling, but they had projection screens right above the lanes. So everyone was watching the game and they were getting into it, even the people who don't really follow hockey.
So what you're saying is that Ben Kuchera and Arthur Gies are now hockey fans.
I think they would have been more hockey fans, or, you know, bigger fans of hockey if there wasn't the threat of them getting stabbed.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jeez.
Because, you know, there was a Rangers fan in their midst, right?
I managed to beat it out of LA before the riots, so I'm kind of glad about that, if there were riots.
Yeah, no, apparently, you know, for people who were there, when the Lakers won a few years ago, apparently the riots were much worse back then. I think it seemed to be relatively tame. I mean, certainly the cops were out in full force. We heard a lot of police helicopters overhead. But, you know, granted, we only had one block to cross from LA Live to get to our hotel. So we didn't have to really wander the streets. So that was nice.
Well, I will say that I was rooting for your Rangers, Sumit, and they were really fun to watch this year, and I'm sure they'll be back.
I will say that I was not rooting for your Rangers, nor will I ever. It's funny you mention that. Like, one correlate I can draw to that, back when Alabama won their first national championship under Saban a few years ago, they played Texas, and what was interesting was that I was actually in Austin, Texas for that game. I was there for work. And it's just was kind of bizarre being an Alabama fan in Austin, Texas, when Alabama is playing Texas in the national championship game, which was played, I believe, in the Rose Bowl. So it was a very surreal thing. And let's just say I enjoyed the outcome of the game, and the entire population of Austin did not. So I kept my allegiances relatively quiet that evening.
Well, so just for the record, this is the Alabama that I look. I don't know much about college football, but I seem to recall something about a field goal return this past season against what was it, Auburn? Is that right?
I do not know what you are referring to.
Wow, God. Sumit's bringing it now. I'm in the middle of like a holy war, like a multi-sport holy war. This is incredible.
Two can play that game, Grisham.
This is what happens when you get these smaller episodes, right? The real stuff starts to come out. You know?
I'm not getting in the middle of this. I swear to God.
All right, but hey, you guys are both at E3 this year. A lot of stuff to talk about, but all that I want to talk about is sports games, the sports games that you played, the sports games you saw, your reactions to everything. So let's just jump right into it. The game that I am by far the most interested in, and I think a lot of people are as well, just because it is new, is NHL. Tell me your NHL experience. What did you think? What did you play? How much time did you get with it? Kat, we'll start with you.
Well, if you check out my recaps over at US Gamer, you'll know that I was really a really big fan of what I saw of NHL 15. And in fact, I called it my game of the show because it was the game to me that said that the next generation is here. And in that, in this regard, the next generation of sports games is here. And you could say that about NBA 2K last year. And I'm not going to deny that NBA 2K was a pretty impressive game, but NBA 2K also had a lot of things that were wrong with it, and most notably the virtual currency issue and online issues. NHL 15 brings the series up to NBA 2K production values, but with the gameplay of the NHL series. And when I say, I was really impressed with the broadcast elements, the fact that they were intercutting live footage of Doc Emmerich into it before the games. It looked phenomenal. It looked terrific. Just completely different than before. New character models, new ice. It animated really well. The puck feels alive. It feels so different from before. It feels dynamic and interesting. I spent a lot of time, like, I had to think a lot about how I was positioning my players to make sure that they would get the puck, or they would be able to gather up the puck, which is something that I see in the real game. And I just had this incredible moment where I was playing somebody. I was playing as the Kings. Sorry, Cement. I was playing as the Kings. They were playing as the Blackhawks. And I got a breakaway. And I was looking at the goalie. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Like, this is how I'm going to beat him. And this is all in like a split second. And I deked out the goalie and put it into the goal. And it was such, it's something that I've never really been able to do in NHL before. I mean, it was, I felt like I had total control over my character and over the puck. And it was great. I mean, if there's one thing that's always bugged me about NHL is that it can often feel mechanical in the sense that you'll be centering the puck, but it's like you're going for a one-timer. You're going for certain moves. It's almost like inputting moves in Street Fighter, right? That's how you get a goal. You dial it up. In this one, I actually felt like I was creating, almost like in soccer, right? I was creating my goals. And even when I wasn't scoring, it wasn't like a regular NHL game where I was getting annoyed or I was getting frustrated or I wasn't sure. I felt like in NHL 15 that I was constantly on the verge of scoring if I would just do one more thing right. I mean, this game, if it hits its potential, I think that it can be maybe the best sports game of the generation. That's its ceiling.
Wow.
Now, a lot depends on its game modes. A lot depends on its franchise mode and its superstar mode and what elements of change that they bring to those. But just playing the regular game, I was extremely impressed. The only thing that I would like to go back and play again, I would like to see how the actual deke moves look again, because if there's one thing that people complain about a lot with NHL is how unnatural the deke moves can look. In that, like, you basically have the stick going through people and the puck moving in unnatural ways and through sticks to pull off the deke move. But I don't remember seeing that in NHL 15, but I would like to see it again. But other than that, it addresses one of my biggest complaints, which is that the puck feels so much more natural than before. I really can't say enough good things about NHL 15. It was great.
Wow. So, Smits our car. You are in Los Angeles. You're at E3, which just being at E3 is a completely ridiculous experience, right? I mean, just the show floor, all of the people, you're catching up with friends, you've got a thousand things to do. So you're in Los Angeles, you got that going on. Then you add the fact that your Rangers are playing the Los Angeles Kings in the Stanley Cup Finals as this is going on next door, and now you're playing NHL, the first next-gen NHL. That's a whole lot going on. What was it like for you playing NHL?
Well, so I was only able to play a single full game, and by that I mean, you know, the 5-minute periods for the demo. So my sort of impressions of it were maybe more on a surface level than Cats. I'm not sure how much you played Cat, but it sounds like you played more than I did.
A couple matches, but you know, the EA, if just as an aside, that EA booth was terribly laid out. I mean, you're basically standing in a glass booth packed to the gills, and in the middle of a game, the poor representative tries to give a presentation about all of the changes of NHL 15, and we're all packed in there with these hot lights on us. I just want to get there and play the game, because I've been in the EA booth for an hour at that point. Oh my gosh, it was insane, but continue, Submit.
Yeah, no, not a good setup at all. But, you know, certainly I... from the limited time I spent with it, I echo Kat's sentiments on the gameplay. I really felt like in the past, NHL has been very prone to a particular style of gameplay that's unrealistic, which is to say, rush, turnover, rush the other way. And they'd made some strides in addressing that in terms of the AI, but in this game, I really felt like I was able to actually get set up in the attack zone, and you know, cycle the puck, and try to, you know, as you were saying, Kat, create scoring opportunities by doing that. Of course, the one goal I ended up scoring to win the game was on a power play, and it was on a 2-on-1. But you know, like you said, I had a lot of good shots. I was moving the puck around, and the game feels really good. From the presentation side, you know, because I can speak sort of more specifically about that, because that's what came through a lot in my experience. It's leaps and bounds doesn't even cover the upgrade over NHL 14 and the entire last generation of that franchise. It looks incredible, certainly. The players on the ice and the faces and all that stuff. They really seem like they had the you know, because this is the first year they're having the full 12 player physics stuff, so it really seemed like they had the hitting tuned up a lot for this particular demo. So like, you would bump a guy and both of you would like collapse in a heap, that, you know, that kind of thing. I'm sure that I imagine that won't be like that in the final game, but for the presentation specifically, it was great to hear Doc Emmerich and Eddie Olczyk.
Doc.
Yeah, Doc is my favorite, one of my favorite announcers in all sports.
Would you believe that whenever I go, I love Doc Emmerich, that people come out of the woodwork to say that they hate him?
What?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I don't get it. They're really wrong. They're just wrong.
Yes. I mean, even if he weren't the longtime New Jersey Devils announcer, I mean, the guy just oozes excitement combined with just
knowledge.
Nailing the calls, right? And and great terms like, and you know, the goaltender waffle boards the, you know, the puck away, and you know, the way that he just calls the game. I think he's, my opinion, right, he's the best announcer in any sport.
I agree. And Bill Clement and Gary Thorne were fine, but it's such a breath of fresh air to have him in the box.
Yeah, I love the way that they call the game in real life. So I do have some reservations about certain elements of the presentation. So certainly the NBC Sports stuff looks terrific. Just, you know, the on screen graphics for the scoreboard and the stadium or the arena shots and intro stuff like that. But you know, the idea is for those who aren't familiar, you know, they shot these guys, Doc and Eddie, on a green screen. And so what you see in the game is not like super uncanny valley digital, you know, models of their head, like you see with Jim Nantz and Phil Simms and Madden. It's literally just video footage of them, and instead, you know, they film them in front of a green screen, and behind them they just put the appropriate camera angle of whatever arena the game is being played in. So my sort of like that, it looked great, and it felt really cool to see them sort of comment on the, you know, Kings being an expansion team, and then they're like, oh, you know, we are at, you know, the world's most famous arena or whatever, like, you know, between 33rd and 34th Street in Manhattan, or 33rd and 35th Street in Manhattan, and between 7th and 8th Avenues, whatever, Madison Square Garden. That stuff is great. I just worry that, like, how many possible intros could they have recorded for all the possible matchups in this game?
Right.
Like, two at the most for each one, right? So I remember I talked to one of the developers, and, you know, he was like, yeah, they had, like, a solid, like, three straight days of recording. I'm not sure if that's recording just the video stuff, or if that's, like, including everything in terms of the commentary and whatnot, because they have to obviously record, you know, full new commentary lines. But, you know, I'm wondering if, like, you're going to see the same stuff for, like, if you were to play some of the European teams together or something. Like, I don't know. I'm just imagining all the matchups between the, you know, the possible home and away matchups for all the NHL teams seems crazy. But anyway, so, you know, how many could they have recorded? So, like, you're going to – if you actually don't A button through that, you're going to – you're going to see them repeat at some point.
I mean, that's a good point. As somebody who – I mean, I imagine day one, right? We're going to start our Press Row Podcast NHL League, and we're going to be playing a lot of hockey. And there's only so much of that that you can take before you finally get to be like, okay, that's enough. But I can't imagine that at the end of the day that I think it sounds like it's going to be cool, but what will be much more important is the in-game commentary going to work? The first year of commentary, you know, like you said, Sumit, you know, how much can you get done? So that's a concern.
I did, you know, so obviously it was 5-minute periods. So I just played one game, Rangers Kings at the Garden. They only had the four semifinalists available to play in the demo. So it was Rangers Kings, Blackhawks, and Canadians. But, you know, within that game, I did hear some lines repeating. I did hear, you know, there are things you want your announcers to acknowledge in terms of having situational awareness in a game, right? So I think, like, there was a shot on my goaltender, and then I had, like, picked up the puck with the defenseman and then sort of skated it out from behind the net and up the ice, and earlier in the game, Emmerich had said something like, oh, and he gets the puck out from a danger area and takes up the ice. And then he said it again, but it was like near the end of the game. And he's like, I think he said something like, he said that line and something like, you know, at the end of the period. And I was like, no, I want you to acknowledge that it's the end of the game. Like, there's 30 seconds left in regulation. And again, obviously this is a very limited demo. I don't know if they even had, like, the full complement of audio for the particular demo that we played. So, I don't want to judge what the final game is going to be like. But some reservations there about how that's all going to come together, I think. But in terms of the gameplay and the graphics stuff, I was super, super impressed. It was also, like Kat, was my sports game of the show, which is not to say anything negative for the other sports games I played, but we'll get to that.
Interesting. So, do we know, I'm sure you asked the questions, but do we know, what modes will or will not be in? I mean, Kat, they've haven't announced a whole lot, but I mean, we're able to dig around and, like, is there going to be GM connected? I presume there will. Is there going to be, you know, EASHL? I presume there will. I mean, what sort of questions were you asking the people that you were working with about the game, and, you know, any other insights that you found out about it?
The representatives were playing things pretty close to the vest. And the questions I asked were, like, really quick, because basically I grabbed the guy before I was able to head out of the booth. I'll be honest. One of the one of the first questions I asked was, will I still be able to put in custom goal horns and things like that? Because I know that this is such a niche thing, and I know that it's not responsible journalism, but I really had to know. And he said, we're working on it.
Hey, it's responsible to you, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. I need to know this thing. If the Wild don't have the right goal horn and the Blackhawks don't have Chelsea Dagger playing after that, after scoring a goal, then I can't enjoy this game. It's just a fact. But I, you know, they said we will reveal more as time goes on. Right. So, you know, it was the old statement of, yes, yes, please wait. But did you like the game? Yes, I did like the game quite a bit. I want to play some more of it quite a bit. It really is miles better than NHL 14. And, you know, I would say that they took a bit of a gambit when they essentially sat out the next generation launch and just stuck with the previous generation with NHL 14, because in some ways it made NHL irrelevant for the year, but it certainly paid off in a game that is far and away the most impressive sports game of the show.
Amazing. Far and away the most impressive. That's both awesome for NHL and maybe a little foreboding for some other games. Before we move on to some of those other games, Submit, any, you know, were you able to have any conversations with the developers or asking questions or get any other sort of insights about it?
I wasn't able to talk to developers, unfortunately. Or, I mean, I did talk to someone who was wearing an EA shirt. I'm not sure if he was like, you know, PR or developer. I didn't get his name. Because I just sort of, I wasn't scheduled to see any of the sports games. Because Owen had seen all that stuff and written it up beforehand. So I just sort of dropped by the booth when I had a gap between appointments and sort of just quickly ran through everything. But I did ask, because I remember being confused about this, because the press materials were unclear about the nature of the presentation package this year, the full nature of it. So certainly they're going to be they're going to have Doc and Eddie doing the commentary, and they shot those pregame intro sequences. But and you know they're going to use Ray Ferraro in some capacity. I didn't see him at all, so I'm guessing he's going to be like the Pierre of this game, you know, between the glass or whatever, because the guy said, yeah, for year one, like, they're not going to have, like, the studio show, which I thought I saw that somewhere in a, you know, some press materials, but I think that, you know, that might be something that they do in the future, but they're not going to have, like, a, you know, intermission report kind of thing with Liam, Mike, and Keith or whatever. So it sounds like, you know, just for this one, for now, they just wanted to focus on getting the commentary and the pregame stuff in. But yeah, that was sort of the only question that I was able to ask.
All right. Well, moving from NHL to FIFA. FIFA was there, and I would imagine both of you played it. Submit, did you get your hands on FIFA? And if so, what did you think? Did anything sort of stand out differently between the launch FIFA on the next-gen consoles and this one?
So first, I'll say I have not had the opportunity to play a ton of FIFA on PS4 or Xbox One. You know, I did play a little bit when, you know, at the launch of those consoles, but you know, I didn't like go through another career or whatever on those systems. The thing is, with FIFA, I played a half against one of the producers. Aaron McCarty. The thing is that the improvements that they're talking about this year, certainly the visual improvements are apparent. The grass looks really incredible, and you know, to have the pitch degradation over time, that stuff looks really cool, and it's nice that it's there. But in terms of the improvements in gameplay that I did see the presentation for FIFA, it really seems like stuff that's going to be difficult to pick out, difficult to notice, unless you play for, you know, many hours. Like, you know, when you're talking about for teams to sort of, you know, for your teammates to make better runs and the emotional stuff that they're talking about where, you know, over the course of a game, they'll realistically react to the situations and things like that. It's not really stuff that I necessarily noticed in my, you know, single half of playing. It does all sound really good, but I wasn't really able to pick up on that. And maybe that's because I, you know, didn't really know. I mean, I might have known what to look for, but, you know, wasn't sort of able to compare it because I didn't have enough experience with FIFA 14.
So, Kat, you're a FIFA 15. Ah, let me try that again. Kat, you're a FIFA person. So did you get your hands on FIFA? And if so, what did you think?
I did. You know, of all the sports games in the booth, I thought that it looked the most similar to the previous year. So as people know now, like one of the main changes of FIFA is that when something happens, like, for example, if they score a goal in a big moment, they're going to react much more happily than they would if it were like a goal in like in a blowout. It kind of reminds me of stuff that they were talking about for NCAA football in like 2011 or something like that. Not to disparage what they're doing. It's just, I mean, it's a cool touch, but in terms of gameplay, I don't know that it does a ton for me because I always thought that they reacted fairly naturally anyway. I could be wrong. I mean, my understanding is that AI is a bigger part of FIFA this year. For example, when you're playing an opposing team, they will react more naturally, more dynamically to the situation. For example, if they're trying to come back on you when you've got a big lead, they might play with more desperation. They might use more aggressive formations. I think that's cool. If there's one thing, this is going to a different game, but if there's one thing that annoys me about a lot of sports games is that the computer tends to play you the same. It doesn't play with urgency, right? Like sometimes they will crank up the AI for big games or something, but you're not seeing that kind of approach to, you're not seeing desperation in the computer. So I like that idea for FIFA 15. And I want to see how they implement it. Beyond that, there's going to be the usual array of balance tweaks and players are going to be smarter. And I'm sure that when I pick it up, it will feel great. But when I played it, in that booth, that tiny, tiny crowded glass booth surrounded by people from Europe with whom I did not speak their language, I came away going, yeah, it's FIFA. Which I like FIFA a lot. I mean, I sat here all day today streaming FIFA World Cup for US Gamer. You can go check that out on our Twitch channel, by the way, US GamerNet. That's my free plug of the show. I love that game, and even in FIFA World Cup it was apparent the changes in the animation and the way that the players react to the ball was apparent. They felt smarter. The flow of the game was better than ever. And that will continue to be the case. But FIFA is in that weird place with sports games where it is so good already that it's hard to make really meaningful changes to the gameplay outside of balance tweaks. FIFA fans will go on and on and on about how unbalanced headers might be or AI players not taking runs at the right time. But the fact of the matter is that to the average person, it looks just like the real thing. So that's the challenge that EA Canada faces. I'll admit that I really wish that they would put in a Women's World Cup and online franchise. I'm kind of doubting that's going to be the case again this year, and I'm wondering when the heck they're going to get around to it. Those are big back of the box features, guys. Let's see them. Maybe they'll surprise me. We'll see.
You know, the online league, we've been talking about it both on this show and on, you know, like the Dodcast, where if they ever had a FIFA online league, that would be the end of me for other video games, because I would pretty much just play that. You know, I'd obviously keep our Madden League, and, you know, if they ever get an NBA 2K league. But FIFA, man, an online league where if we could get like 8 or 10 or 12 of our friends to be in a persistent world in FIFA would just be spectacular. Smitsar Carr, do you think there's any chance we get that feature in FIFA this year?
I would hope so. I know, you know, Owen is also someone who's been advocating for that for a long time. But, you know, I got to think that you know, whereas NHL took, you know, the extra time because they have extra time, because they didn't launch last fall on the new consoles. You know, for FIFA, it's almost a compressed development cycle, slightly, because they usually come out like end of September, and you know, now they will have had the you know, like a month less time, I guess, or so. So yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of not expecting like a massive, I guess, new feature set. Maybe they'll surprise me. They certainly haven't really talked about that stuff much, but I don't know. I would hope so, but I'm not expecting it.
So with FIFA, to me, if you take everything, you know, we would love online leagues and things like that, but if you take everything else out of it, for me, the thing that always, not always, but the thing that really stuck out to me for FIFA 14 on the next-gen consoles was that it just felt bigger than any FIFA I'd ever played. You know, the crowd was so much better. The announcers seemed to have a little extra bite to them. The players just seemed to move and behave more realistically. And like, to your point, Kat, I'm not sure where they can go in that direction. So do you get the sense that, well, yes, they're going to continue to make tweaks, that there's something big up their FIFA sleeve coming down the pike? Or do you think that, well, hey, you know what? We got a great game. It's going to sell well. We've got Ultimate Team printing money for us, that they're going to, and I don't want to sound cynical, but they're basically just going to move forward with very straightforward core enhancements, but not really sort of throw the kitchen sink at this and go nuts with a whole bunch of new ways to play the game or experience it.
I think that one of the things that they're really worried about is cooking the proverbial golden goose, taking this, a game that sells millions upon millions of units every year, and screwing it up to the degree that people hate it and killing the series momentum, and suddenly finding themselves in a position where they're having to make those huge changes because everybody's mad at the series. I think that they don't have a lot of incentive to go crazy, no. And so long as FIFA Ultimate Team continues printing money, that they're not going to take a lot of risks with it. And it might be cynical, but I feel like that's probably the case. The disappointing thing is that while a online league would take a lot of resources probably, and it probably wouldn't be played by a ton of people. I mean, we would certainly play it, but that's because we're crazy. And we also like love sports games and we do this for a living. But I don't think that the average person would make use of that feature. And I'm betting that they've pitched it internally and looked at it and gone, too much work. The sad thing is that, I mean, if you look at everything else that FIFA has, if you look at how strong a product FIFA is, you would think that they could have the time and energy to devote resources to an effort like that, given that how strong the regular game is, as opposed to, say, a Madden, where it feels like they have to do huge wholesale changes every year because to fix this thing or that thing. I would be really curious to know what the mindset is in that studio right now.
All right, so that's perfect. I mean, oh, go ahead, Smith.
Sorry, just real quickly. It's interesting. Like, in terms of features and playing it safe and whatnot, I mean, they got to this point by not doing that, right? Like, that, I imagine that's a huge driver of whatever their thinking is for the future. You know, they didn't get to being one of the best sports games, one of the most consistently good sports games by, you know, like debuting flashy new features, you know, every other year or whatever. Certainly they've had major steps at points like introducing physics with what, FIFA 11, I think it was, and things like that. But, you know, they've always just sort of focused on honing the way the game plays. And so I wonder if that also might be limiting for them in terms of their willingness to take risks with big new features. But I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, even though there will be a Women's World Cup next year and this would be the time to do it, I would wager that you would see online leagues in FIFA before you see Women's World Cup.
I think that's probably true. I just would like to see Women's World Cup because I'd like to finally go into superstar mode and create a female character. Yep. But that's just me.
Hey, Canada, prove me wrong.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, I went into FIFA 13 without that many expectations, and that game just blew me away at the time, right? Where they introduced an entire international manager mode practically right under my nose. In addition to first touch control, which practically changed the game in every way. So, hey, I mean, they could have things up their sleeve with FIFA 15. And if I've learned anything, it's not to underestimate that team, because I kind of went in wondering what the heck they were going to do with FIFA 14. And my initial reaction was to be underwhelmed, but in retrospect, once again, most consistent sports game, still the best. So, you know, we'll see.
I mean, they have confirmed that tournament mode will be back, right? And that's actually one of my favorite ways to play the game, because what sort of I discovered was that tournament mode, tournament could also mean just a full season of the Premier League. And so you can, instead of having to deal with the complexities of the transfer market and scouting and, you know, all of the intricacies that, you know, being a, you know, picking a club that's in the Premier League or in Serie A or in, you know, La Liga or whatever, you can just be like, hey, I want to play a single season of the Premier League. So that was a way for me to have fun with Everton or West Bromwich, you know, the clubs that I support, to have fun with them without having to do all those other things. So they already have announced that those modes are coming back. So that could be a nice precursor to some other modes, but we will see. But all right, moving on. Good segue earlier, Kat, to Madden. Madden was obviously also in the cramped glass booth with hundreds of other people.
The aquarium, the fish tank.
You know, which is, you know, frankly, you know, one of the reasons I didn't go to E3 this year was because last year it was very much the same experience, right? It's hard to get a good sense for games in that kind of a kind of environment. But anyway, that aside, talk to me about your experience with Madden. Sumit, we'll start with you. How much of it did you play? What was your experience, and what do you take away from it?
Now, unfortunately, Madden was the one that I was able to spend the least time with. I think I played about 10 minutes worth before I had to run off to go see Forza Horizon 2, which, side note, looks pretty awesome. But Madden, the most noticeable thing for me is the presentation, specifically the graphics, where people were, I imagine, because I was, underwhelmed by the launch versions on the new consoles last fall in terms of the bull shots that EA put out for, the images they released at E3 2013 of Robert Griffin III and Marshawn Lynch and others. I remember, and I said it on this podcast last year, that the first time I saw Madden running on an Xbox One, I did a double take. I was like, wait, this is the Xbox One version or the Xbox 360 version? There wasn't a difference.
Nope.
At launch.
There wasn't.
Kind of, but yeah, it wasn't. It was really not much of an upgrade. That's not the case.
Excuse me, but there was an upgrade. When I look at the lighting in that game and the character models and the way they move, there is definitely an upgrade. Well, I'm just I play a lot of Madden, trust me. And when I go back and forth between 360 and the PS4 version, it's like night and day when it comes to how they play and how they look.
Well, I
know it's popular to pile on Madden here, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, I'm gonna back up submit here with when the first time I saw the next gen Madden, I'm like, I didn't see a difference between next gen Madden and 360 Madden. But as I've said here before, Madden on the next-gen consoles was a slow burn, not slow burn, but a slow burn, where it became very apparent to me after playing it a little bit that it was a fundamentally stronger game, much better game as far as how the players move, the blocking and stuff like that. But to this day, and Kat, we can agree to disagree, I don't think there was much of a visual upgrade as far as just the visuals. Mm-hmm. Between the 360 version and the Xbox One and the PS4 version. I'm with Submit on this one.
Yeah, I would, to clarify, I think it is a notably better playing game on the new consoles. Like it, the blocking actually works, for example.
My God, the difference is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's palpable. Yeah, much better playing. I was, again, like Rich, speaking specifically about the visuals. Yes, it looks better, but I didn't think it was, as much of an upgrade as EA was sort of touting.
I will agree with you, Sumit, in that this version of Madden looks kind of like the trailer from last year, that they were showing. It's like, this is footage, real footage. I think that this Madden does a much better job of meeting those expectations. Do you agree?
Yeah, totally. So that's what I was getting at, is that Madden 15 looks really nice. And this is finally, as Kat was just saying, fulfilling some of the promise that that EA put in everyone's minds last year with the initial reveal of the new generation versions. By the way, side note, I refuse to call them next gen. We're in the generation now. I'm not saying next gen anymore. Okay, come on.
What is the statute of limitations on using next gen? Because I remember they were still using next gen consoles for the PS2 in 2004.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't get it. Look, we're in the generation, people. The consoles have been out for more than 6 months. Come on. But anyway, yeah, looks really great. I like. So again, I didn't get to play a ton of it, but I was playing a two-player game, so I didn't get to see any of the new defensive camera stuff, or the graphical overlays that they do. The only thing that I had in my game that was new on that front was pre-snap. You would have whatever icons, and basically as the ball gets snapped, the little R2 button pops up, and if you hit that, and if you time it right with the snap, you'll get a jump on the offensive lineman. It'll be easier to beat him to the quarterback. And then when you're engaged, they'll sort of tell you with a directional arrow sort of which way to aim your, which way to point with the analog stick to sort of try and get an edge. And then I think if there's also the different buttons, I think square pops up, and maybe that might do a swim move or something. I wasn't sure exactly of how that works. I didn't really get a sense of that, but that's sort of how the new defensive line controls play out. And so I wasn't offended by the graphical overlays. I know a lot of people were really apprehensive about that stuff. I don't know how it's going to look in terms of a single player game when you actually have the camera behind the defenders. I did honestly like the graphical overlay for tackles. For people who haven't heard, this is the thing where it's kind of vision cone-esque. So you'll have this sort of overlay on the field that goes out ahead of your defender, and there's like two different levels of it, two different distances away from the defender, where, like, you know, the first distance, the short distance, is like where he can make a normal tackle, a wrap tackle, and then the sort of next level is like this is the far edge of his diving possibility, or, you know, his diving distance. So again, that might be something that you want to turn off if you're a purist. I didn't think it was all that bad, and I thought it was, you know, it gave me an idea of you know, what controls to use when, and you know, when I could realistically attempt a dive. And that stuff seemed really good. I didn't, however, notice that it was like much easier to get to the quarterback with these new controls, which is probably, you know, both a good and a bad thing. I mean, you know, if they're trying to tout that as like, oh, it'll be like better to play on the defensive line, you know, I didn't necessarily get that sense, but I also at the same time, you know, didn't want to see it be super overpowered in terms of the swim moves and spin moves and stuff. So yeah. As for the offensive side of the ball, I didn't really get much of it. I mean, I did play a series or something, but I didn't really get a chance to sort of really grasp the changes there. But maybe you did, Kat.
Well, Kat, you are a Madden scientist at this point, right? I mean, you are, you know, two-time Press Row Super Bowl champion. You are you know, somebody who has admittedly spent hundreds of hours playing the game over the last couple of years. So how much time did you get with Madden, and did you like what you saw?
I got more or less a whole game in. Before I start with my impressions, Sumit, one thing I'm kind of wondering, when you're saying that people are really upset about the overlays, are you referring to the tackling cone and the visual feedback that comes when you get off the snap properly?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were like, they have awful nightmares about the vision cone, right, from Madden 06. So I think they're... about the tackling cone.
I do think people need to calm down about that because, yeah, it's not gameplay altering. It's meant to be a visual indicator of when you're doing something right, which frankly is something that Madden has been missing for a long time. The tackling cone is just like, this is to help you figure out where your player is oriented so that you can make a hit stick. Though a hit stick is different this year, but a hit stick tackle or a tackle or whatever. I actually think these are positive changes, and I'm glad to see that Matt Tiburon is following on from last year when they added the little indicator over the head of the person that you're supposed to be watching for the read option, because it made it miles easier to execute that play. Maybe a little too easy in retrospect, but still much better. In terms of the defense, I know that one of their goals for a long time and that they've been kind of wrestling with is how do you make defense fun to play? Like they've been working on this for ages, and it just, to a great extent, a lot of people are still really hands off with defense. I will do certain things. I will user control players. But it feels like something really advanced to get in and actually control the defense, because more often than not, you're going to screw up. And the next thing you know, you got a defense, you got a wide receiver literally wide open with no one within miles of them. And then they're taking it to the house. And you're like, what the heck did I do wrong? Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have taken control of a coverage player and let him just run free. Okay, well, that was a mistake. And then you learn to take control of the safeties, et cetera. But that's all advanced stuff. With this new one, it is now a lot more fun to take control of a linebacker or a defensive pass rusher, which my first impression is to really like. So the first thing, I was given a little tour by a friend of the podcast and Press Row League member Andrew Johnson, who was Super Bowl runner-up in season three. I mean, sorry. and he was showing me some of the new features and giving me a pretty detailed overview, which I appreciated. And he was showing me how to get off the snap. And I was playing as the Vikings. A lot of people were playing as the Vikings, as a matter of fact, which made me happy because now the Vikings are the sexy new team, thanks to Teddy Bridgewater. And I took control of Everson Griffin, who is a pretty good defensive end. And the first thing I did was blow away the San Diego Chargers left tackle, whoever that is, and get to Phillip Rivers and sack him for a fumble. And I was like, whoa, I mean, it was a good feeling. And, you know, one of the interesting things they did was that they mapped the moves to the face buttons rather than the stick. So it's a lot easier to execute moves. And it was the one thing that always drove me crazy was that I play as the Buffalo Bills in the Xbox 360 league I'm in. I got Mario Williams, and more often than not, I'm getting sucked into blocks. I can't do anything. I have a really good pass rusher, and he feels literally useless. So it feels really good to actually have a player who's supposed to be elite. And this is speaking as a Vikings fan who's had to watch Jared Allen get sucked into blocks for years upon years on end. So that's good. The funny thing is that one of the features that they touted really heavily during their presentation was the defensive camera. Now, I didn't get to play with this defensive camera because it was disabled for the demo purposes because they won't let you use it for couch co-op because it will confuse your friend. And they're afraid of tournament players, I guess, using it as a weapon to disorient offensive players or something. They couldn't make it work for couch co-op, but it'll work with online games and computer games. But I think the point of the defensive camera is basically to make it easier to get a bead on a runner and get in there and tackle them. So if you know that they're going to run, that's when you would use the defensive camera. People were going, I don't understand. Why would I use that for pass coverage? It's like, nah, you wouldn't use it for that. You'd use it if you predict a run. I didn't do a lot of actual pass coverage. I was told that zone coverage is going to be a lot better. And zone coverage does look a lot better this time without being to the extremes of, say, Madden 12, where they were literally cheating and just being drawn to the ball like they were on a string or something like that. So that's definitely a positive change. And the defensive backs seem smarter without being overpowered. In general, the game feels heavier and more realistic in addition to looking really good. Quarterback accuracy is going to be a much bigger thing this year after the feedback from last year where, I mean, even guys like Matt Castle and Christian Ponder were able to have four touchdown games where they were only missing like three or four passes. So if you have a bad quarterback, I'm being told, you're definitely going to feel that. So a lot of these are balancing issues, but there are definitely changes, balance issues that sorely needed to be addressed. So it's good that they're doing that. Now, the thing is, I don't really want to go too crazy in praising Madden or condemning Madden because it definitely looked a lot rougher than what the NHL and the FIFA guys were showing.
Really?
One thing, all the teams were playing in Levi's Stadium. They didn't have all the new stadiums prepared. And I don't want to say it looked early. It looked good, but I got the impression that there was still a lot more work to be done. I mean, the build that I was using crashed in the middle of it. So there's that. I feel like the interface is a bit easier to use. They changed the way that you call plays. It's difficult to describe off the top of my head, but it felt more intuitive to pick formations. take that for what it you will. I know that you're probably like wanting more details, but it was like you were going down by layers. So you would start with the top level view, and it would be like, here's the formation, and I'm quickly scrolling through the plays, like without having to go into like a second menu. But if I want to, I can go into that second menu. Stuff like that. It in general, it looks better, and I don't want to call it a substantial leap ahead, but I'm always happy to see Madden make some changes to their menu overlays because they've typically been pretty bad. The presentation was really early. Like, I saw, like, the NFL Shield, but I don't remember seeing a lot of replays. I don't remember seeing a lot of presentation elements. Here's a funny thing about Madden. They cook out the coin toss. So when you do a coin toss, so the game just starts now. It says so-and-so, such-and-such team has won the toss, and then it will just immediately put you at the kickoff.
I'm okay with that.
Now, you can set it to be like, if I win the toss, I always want to kick.
Good, because I always want to kick when I win the toss.
You, me, and every other experienced Madden player. And I think that their algorithms said, when players win the toss, they kick 95% of the time.
And by the way, like, you used the term me and experienced Madden player. I'm not so sure I would I would put those two words together.
Well, you've been around, Rich. Come on. So they're trying to streamline it, make games go faster, which if it's only a little bit here and a little bit there, I mean, that adds up. So good on them. So it's actually hard to make a judgment call on Madden. I like some of the changes that they're making right now. I thought the passing felt good. I mean, it felt natural. My players didn't have a lot of trouble getting open, but that was good because the pass rush was getting in there pretty fast. So I needed to be able to get rid of that ball pretty quickly. I suppose my only reservation is I'm afraid that people are going to get really, really good at beating that, at abusing that pass rush, and we're going to see people with 15 sacks a game. That's my reservation.
Sumit, you had some thoughts on play calling, and it sounds like you also chatted with our good friend Mike Suzik as well about it.
I did, yeah. So, and this is details that are coming from Mike because I mean, yeah, I did obviously call plays and stuff. And I picked up on this as well. So the play calling stuff, you know, I don't know if, you know, our listeners will remember, but we talked about this last fall. But you guys remember the Smart Glass app for the Xbox One version of Madden last
yep.
year? The Coach Glass, I think, mm-hmm. was the thing that they called it.
Yep.
So as far as I can tell, and again, you know, I didn't directly speak with the developer, but as far as I can tell, the play calling is sort of taken from Coach Glass, both on offense and defense this year, or the setup, I guess, is inspired by what Coach Glass was last fall. And by that, I mean they'll give you a lot of data. So it kind of can be overwhelming the first time you see the play call screen, but they give you all this data on your behavior and other players' behavior. So if you just do that, I think the default, it's not like you're going through the formations. I mean, certainly you can, you know, do that and drill down and, you know, check out a nickel 3-3-5 or whatever and call your plays. But what the screen will show you is like three different plays, I think, you know, they'll show it like three plays, and it's not Ask Madden. What it is like, you know, you in this situation, like you like to call this play. You used this play, whatever, 7 out of 10 times or something in on second and long or whatever. Like you call this defensive play, and then it'll say like, oh, you know, in this situation, like the Madden commute calls this play, a majority of the time or whatever. And so that was what Coach Glass was last year, where, you know, the person who was on the smart glass device could call plays for the person who was playing the game, and they would have all this extra data coming in to inform their play calling. And so it looks like, and again, this is as far as I can tell, it looks like they are, you know, implementing that data on the screen, just incorporating it into the standard play calling engine. So, you know, I don't know if like game flow is still in there. You know, I couldn't tell, but that was what the play calling interface looked like to me.
Here's what I find interesting about this is that when I'm playing a game against somebody, and again, all I play is Madden, all I play is our Press Row Online League. About half the games are against the computer and half are against people. What I'm interested in knowing is, and this cuts both ways, if my opponent calls a certain play regularly, I'm going to now know that that's a play they call regularly. Is it going to take it to the next level, which is to, you know, the best play for this screen pass is a, you know, cover two or a two man under? Like, is it going to go to that level, or is it going to be what's so frustrating to so many people, which is, okay, now I have a little more information. I know they call this regularly, or the play that they last called was this, but you still have no idea what will actually counter that, you know, that play, because, you know, if they called it in this situation, chances are when it's third and four in a tie game in the fourth quarter, they're going to call it again. What can I do to really try to take that play out? And conversely, you know, I know that I personally don't run more than 15 plays, maybe. I mean, there's just not that many plays that I'm comfortable running that I have a good sense for. Is that all going to now work against me? And now you don't need to be nearly as savvy and observant anymore. It's almost like you're spoon-fed this information. You're like, oh, well, this guy runs, you know, this play and that play and this play. And now I'm all of a sudden in a lot more trouble. Cat Bailey, did you get that sense at all that any of those kind of things could potentially happen with all the new information on the screen?
To tell you the truth, I do remember seeing that, and it made virtually no impact on me, because when I was calling my plays, I was mostly focusing on what their formations were and moving my guys around. So I wasn't thinking too much about what their play calling tendencies were. I guess because I just kind of figured that out for myself. So I suppose that would be really helpful for people who have a hard time picking out play calling tendencies. I think it's much more for beginners.
Okay, well, hey, we talked about the big guns, which are NHL, Madden, and FIFA. Sumit, you mentioned you saw Forza Horizon, a racing game that counts as sports, Forza Horizon 2. What talk about Forza Horizon 2 for a minute, and what else sports-wise or sports-ish did you see at E3 that got you excited?
Forza was the only other sports game I saw. Unfortunately, didn't have a chance to go check out Pro Evo 2015. So Forza, you know, I didn't play the first Forza Horizon, but it looks really good in terms of, I mean, obviously visually, right? Those games always look great. They're doing, you know, they're doing some interesting things with sort of encouraging you to play with your friends, and obviously they're bringing over the Drivatar stuff that was in Forza 5 last fall at launch. The idea of like this open world, you know, Southern Europe that you can just sort of go from, again, it's not geographically accurate, but like the south of France through to like northern Italy or parts of Italy or whatever, is really cool. And like the cool thing is with the Drivatar stuff, that when it's, you know, transposed into an open world game, is that, you know, you can see like the way your friends drive, but you can also follow your friends drive a Targ, and maybe they'll unlock a, or not unlock, but you know, they'll be racing down a shortcut that you hadn't found yet or you hadn't noticed. But this is, you know, that's like the AI or whatever that, that the game is compiled from the way they drive. You know, they might tend to take that shortcut, and then all of a sudden that driver tar pops up in your game and you're like, oh, hey, that's a road I never saw before. So that stuff, that seems really awesome. And the game looks like really cool and you know, graphics wise. And so we'll see. But yeah, that was the only other sports thing I saw as far as I can recall.
Cat Bailey, anything else you saw sports-ish at E3 that got you either excited or you were kind of down on? Either way.
Does The Witcher 3 count?
That's a real stretch. A real stretch.
Witcher 3 was pretty sweet. So also, No Man's Sky, if you want to talk about flying around starfighters. I guess that's kind of sports-like.
Well, hey, I got to ask this question because Ronnie2K was tweeting up and down, left and right at E3. What were they doing at the NBA 2K booth? Because they were certainly not showing off NBA 2K15 in any way. Did either of you happen to stop by?
I mean, I stopped by the 2K booth, and I saw Evolve, which looks great, and Borderlands and Civ. And I saw the NBA 2K15 logo, but they were not taking appointments. They were not showing anything. So,
as far as I know, literally the only NBA 2K15 presence at the booth was a like on one of the walls of the 2K booth. You know, they had like the logo of the game, and then you could take a photo with like Kevin Durant. Like he was not him personally.
The real Kevin Durant was hanging out. Nice.
Yeah, he was there all 3 days. like one of the walls just had like, you know, not even a standee. Like it was just Kevin Durant and the NBA 2K15 logo like plastered on the wall. They were like, come take a photo with, you know, NBA 2K15 cover athlete Kevin Durant or whatever. Yeah.
I do want to say that I'm pretty excited about Forza Horizon. And that's despite not being a traditional fan of the Forza series. I loved Burnout Paradise. And one of the reasons I loved Burnout Paradise was that I loved the sensation of simply driving around. And if there's one thing that Need for Speed did not get right, it was the pleasure of just driving around. Because inevitably, the freaking cops would show up and chase me around, and then I'd go to jail, or I'd lose all my items, or whatever. I want that back. And if Forza Horizon gives me that in, like, the south of Europe, done. Buying it tomorrow, nice. Or whenever it comes out.
Well, I'm definitely excited, based upon everything that I've heard from you guys and from what we saw. I'm excited for what the 2014 crop of sports games are going to give to us. Obviously, it's EA heavy because NHL, Madden, FIFA, you know, the only real non-EA games are Pro Evo, which I'm excited for, as well as NBA 2K.
Are you excited for Pro Evo, Rich?
I am, and I'm excited just because I have, you know, over the last couple, 2 or 3 years, really transformed into a not just a big international soccer fan, but I'm starting, I dare say, to get a little savvy. Like, I watched a little La Liga. I watched, you know, a little Serie A in addition to watching a ton of Premier League. And I think I'm going to get a little better at discerning some of the strengths and weaknesses of Pro Evo versus FIFA. I might not. I'm also excited for Pro Evo because I believe that they are going to try to make it a little more accessible for the people who haven't played Pro Evo for the last 10 years. You know, you know, as interesting as Pro Evo was on the pitch last year on the 360, and I thought it did some really good stuff, it's just so dense and difficult to navigate and to understand. Hopefully that will improve. So, and you know, I like to support, you know, the competition in the space. So, you know, for all of those reasons, I'm excited. And I'm obviously excited for NBA 2K15. I'm an NBA 2K junkie. And so that will, I'm hoping for I'm hoping for, it's hard to say I'm hoping for improvement on the court because, and you could always have improvement. I'm hoping for expansion on the court. I'm hoping for an even more robust single player career mode. That's where and I'm hoping for a online franchise, a legitimate online franchise, because that I think was the biggest thing lacking. I know because I played in online franchises on those platforms earlier, 2K13, 2K12, and I have a ton of fun with my friends playing that. And even those online franchises were wonky. They were kind of weird. There was online issues with the game. If NBA 2K could get online franchises working in a traditional way and get the online to be highly functional, I mean, look out. That game will dominate my life. So I think it's going to be a really, really good year overall for people like us who love sports games. I kind of chuckle at all the people complaining about everything getting delayed to 2015. Because, hey, not our games. FIFA's going to be there. Madden's going to be there. NHL's going to be there. Pro Evo's going to be there. NBA 2K is going to be there. Heck, even NBA Live is going to be there. All these games are going to be there.
So poor NBA Live. If it ever gets delayed like NBA Live, you know you're in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah, well, NBA Live, I think they made a smart decision by sitting out, not devoting resources to making a demo that didn't, frankly, need to be made. I think NBA Live is going to, if they're going to be successful, they're going to have to be successful just by flat out producing a game that's a lot better than they made last year. And so
I agree.
I think they made a smart decision to sit it out and focus on building. We'll see how that turns out. But if I were them, I wouldn't have done that any differently. Sumit, any sort of final thoughts or summary on your experience at E3 2014?
Certainly I wish I had more time to spend with the games that I saw. Like I said, I just saw the three EA Sports games that we talked about. And I would say my hope, aside from that all these games will be the best ones yet in their respective franchises, I just hope that EA next year doesn't have a cluster cuss of a booth, because they always do. It's always the
last
biggest
year was awful.
Gosh darn
that
thing you see in the South Hall as soon as you walk in. It's
yeah,
sprawling friggin' complex of glass and screens and ridiculously loud speakers and flashing lights, and it's sensory overload. It's just unpleasant to be there, honestly.
Cat Bailey, your final thoughts, your summary of your experience at E3 2014.
I feel a lot more optimistic about sports games this year than I did last year. I'm really, really, really looking forward to playing some NHL 15 because I feel like I've been waiting for this version of NHL for like 3 years now. Madden looks promising, and FIFA looks as good. FIFA and NBA are going to be as good as ever. So I think it's going to be a pretty strong sports year, all things considered. I wish that I could speak more broadly to PGA, except to say that it has the funniest tagline ever: "Golf without limits." Best tagline. I love it.
Well, all right, E3 2014, we will put our final bow on it. I want to thank Kat and TJ. Kat, TJ. I want to thank Kat and Sumit for joining us tonight. I know you guys have put a lot of time and effort into all the coverage you've done. So to come on and talk about your experiences, we appreciate it. I am also with you, and I'm looking forward to the sports games that we have. I agree. I think it's going to be a solid year. So on behalf of Cat Bailey from US Gamer and Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, I'm Rich Grisham from the Internet. Thank you as always for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Please subscribe to this show via iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Windows app, or just go to Operation Sports every day, and that's where you'll find us as well. Wherever you get it, please make sure that you rate and review it and comment on it, because that helps keep the show going. Also, please be sure to follow the show on Twitter at Press Row Podcast, as well as all of our panelists and supporters, including Operation Sports' Chris Sanner at Chris_SNR, Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good, Polygon's Smit Sarkar at Smit Sarkar, Operation Sports' Steve Noah at Steve_OS, Pasta Padre's Brian Weedy at Pasta Padre, US Gamer's Cat Bailey at The_CatBot, TJ Lowerman at ThatSportsGamer, and me, your host, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham, as well as, of course, Operation Sports at Operation Sports. Again, thank you so much to the great folks at Operation Sports for making this show happen, and especially thank you to our listeners. We really appreciate your support.